Okay, let's start. Now the mic is on and at least sounds pretty okay to hear. So let's start with our title for the presentation, Industrial Internet Enables Pay-as-you-Go Robotics. And quite a, how would I say, smooth and soft title, but if I give you some of the promises from the presentation and the expectation level, what you can wait from the presentation is more or less that's how we do believe that when the industries are changing because of the digitalization, how actually the role of the IT in the organizations will be more crucial in the future what it is now, while the digitalization and the data will come a business at itself. It's not anymore supporting the other businesses, but it's business at itself. And from technological perspective, I think two of the main platforms what are now embedded into our presentation is IoT connectivity and analytics. And we've been divided our roles so that my name is Joni Lehtonen, and I'm currently head of the digital transformation for manufacturing industries within Tieto. I've been working in manufacturing industries since 1994 and been always in the role where IT and production has been somehow merged together. And recently, I've been driving the IoT for manufacturing industries, what kind of benefits, what kind of business opportunities, or what kind of business savings it could provide for these companies.
And my name is Olli Luukkonen, and then in Tieto, in the same industrial internet team as Joni, I'm then heading the development of the cloud-based analytics services and platforms. And then, of course, I mean, when we're talking about data in the company or in the IT section, a crucial part of that is the analytics part, because now you can't really get any knowledge or information out of the data without the proper analytical tools and algorithms. So I will, in my part of the presentation, I will be discussing a bit more about how can we use analytics in the best possible way to draw, well, get the potential out of the data that the well, the company has.
And now, during the presentation, if you have any questions, please interrupt us immediately, so that we can easily deep dive into the discussions as far as we are capable to do that. But please do it. But before we go into the topic, the mandatory part of the presentation, short company introduction to Tieto. At the moment, as most likely, we have been selected those researches which are most beneficial for us. But we are counting ourselves to be number one partner in IT services in Finland, number two IT services partner in Sweden, and then number one partner in telecom R&D services, mostly because of Nokia and Ericsson, to telecom sector in Northern Europe. And our strategy at the moment has been built on top of the three cornerstones. Reinforcing the industry expertise, expanding to provide full lifecycle IT services, and focusing into our core markets. And if we are lucky today, and internet is working well enough, which is a requirement for IoT, we are going to the live demonstration as well with our real-time factory concept, and that is actually a full-blown set of these components, meaning that real-time factory is running on our own data centers based on our IoT platform, combining some bits and pieces from analytics and a turnkey solution for a certain vertical to be used. But now to the topic, and we do not want to speak too much today about the technology from the bottom-up perspective, but rather start from that sense that how do we feel that digitalization will change the industries. And mostly because of my personal background, we have selected today that the discrete manufacturing industry is a role model for us. And we are trying to open up how we think that that industry will change in the near future and how those industries should utilize new technologies like connectivity platforms and analytics, and a little bit discussion about what kind of organizational implications or new type of marriage between the IT organization and business need to be done. While we started this industrial internet unit within Tieto, where we are coming from with Olli, we started to build up our strategy based on certain cornerstones. We felt that the machines are coming more and more intelligent. Either they are intelligent already, or they will be intelligent in the future. Energy efficiency is something which needs to be taken into account, even though at the moment we do have a luxury that, for example, oil prices are quite low and the energy discussion is not on the surface as it used to be a couple of years back, we still believe that energy will be quite an important resource and quite an optimized resource in the future. As well, when we started to build up our services, we decided to build up the full cloud solutions for our customers, but so that our services can be bought on component basis, because most of the customers have started already a journey, they have invested into something, so we thought that we have to be able to build up on top of the existing investments and just bring up the new components which are required by that customer. Privacy and security, that will be the crucial in the future, and a lot of customer discussions is ongoing that what is the difference between IoT and the machine-to-machine integration which has been here already years. And I think one of the red line is that internet. And when the traffic and the data traffic is going through the public internet, privacy and security is something what we really carefully need to take and have to consider. And finally, context sensitivity. So whatever applications or solutions we are bringing to the markets, we need to connect those into the context where our customers are working in. Then a slide regarding some of the words, quite a modern words or fancy words, which are used pretty much in everyday papers or publicity nowadays. And we decided to take this slide in order to put a little bit context to the discussion what we are going through today, because some of these terms means different things for us. And in our terminology, digitalization is an umbrella term for all of the others. Digital business models means that companies who have been intangible businesses in the past can start new type of businesses which are based on data or fully digital assets. Industry 4.0, which is on the other way project which was initiated originally in German by the German government, that is focusing into the manufacturing operations automation, how to make factory shop floors more automated. Internet of Things, in our terms, is more focused into the consumer businesses. What you and me can do at home, changing the lights or the heating from the mobile app. Industrial Internet is more or less the same or corresponding term to Internet of Things, but the context is in B2B environment, and that term was originally launched by General Electric in US. And big data and analytics, on the other hand, is a technological view to this same picture, but that is then the layer which is utilizing the data and enabling digital business models. So hopefully we are now systematically using these terms, but this is at least what we've been building while we have composed a slide deck together. Then we decided to take once again a Gartner's nexus of four forces into the presentation. I think this picture was heavily used by Gartner a year or two back, and I think it's still valid. And I was actually last week spending a week in Boston in MIT, and I got some of the insights into these forces. They said that on average, every one of us are using mobile phones closely 3 hours per day. So we are quite a mobile. And we are using 95% of the time the mobile phones into something else but speaking. Meaning that the social context has come into the mobile devices. And for us in the business context, this means that every solution what we are building and bringing to the market does have a mobile user interfaces, and it has to have as well the social dimension taken into account. Information for us here is taken from that perspective. Olli is coming back into the data and analytics part, but that can be divided into two different mainstreams. On one hand, how we are using the information to make our own internal business operations more efficient. How we can save money, or how we can minimize the costs. But I think the most lucrative part of that is that how we are able to make money out of data. When somebody is really wanting to exchange the data or the reports or the analytics what we are creating into money. And then cloud, I think that is some kind of no-brainer at the moment, that everything what is on the market need to be available on-demand basis, at least on an option, if not the only choice. Then we start to jump a little bit to the manufacturing industry. And here we have tried to visualize that how the things are today when companies are still producing the products and the product managers of these machinery companies are kings and queens of the organization. The whole organization has been set up into the functional silos. There is a sales organization, R&D, manufacturing, delivery, and so forth. When we are moving towards the digital business models, and when these machinery companies start to provide lifecycle services for these machines, these different functions in the organization have to come together in some way. And we see it so that there is actually three main functions in the future in the organizations, in the manufacturing, but in the other industries as well, which need to be established. One is data management office. The other one is DevOps organization, which is quick Scrum teams, and who are able to handle the logistics of the software. And the third one is a customer service team, which is a collection of old functional organization. Every single function from the organization collected into the one horizontal organization. But now we will deep dive a little bit more into the manufacturing organization and how that will change, and then further to the demo, how we are responding to these changes in the market. When we started to think about, actually 2 years ago, that what kind of IoT offerings we need to bring into the market, we didn't know exactly what to do. Hence, we decided that we have to run a research. And we used Kairos Future Consulting firm, who did a survey for us. And 63% of the CXO level responders said that in order to maintain competitive in the markets, they have to invest into technology. But the same research said that they do not know how. They are ready to invest, but it seems that there is so many opportunities that it's difficult to make the decisions. Then we started to think about our Nordic welfare and how it has been built. A lot of our welfare is because of the exports from the heavy machinery industry. And we started to investigate how we have come into this moment of time where we are at the moment. and we went through the different phases of manufacturing in the past, and we have come from the mass production, then to the lean production, and recently to the customer-centric production. But we started to think about that what will be the fourth pillar or fourth on the next step in this journey. And we came to the conclusion that industrial services is the area where our customers are heading into. And for that purpose, we decided and started to set up our IoT cloud. The IoT cloud was still sounded quite a big thing, and we decided to divide the IoT cloud into some subdomains. And we started from the intelligent machines. When companies are having different things on the market, we need to enhance those machines so that we are able to connect into the machines, we are able to even implement external sensors into those, and we are able to send the data to the backend systems, and we are able to take commands to the machine from the backend systems. And for this purpose, we built up our own software-based component called Device Integration Platform, which we are able to integrate software agnostically into any device. Then we as well investigated a bit that how the industry will change from the business application perspective. And we came to the conclusion that as long as manufacturing industries has been a product organizations, ERP has been the main tool for them. But the ERP has been implemented so that they are good to manufacture or produce the goods. But in the future, while services will be the better half of the business, they don't have such a capabilities in the ERP, or at least the ERP functionalities are a little bit weak in that area. And hence we decided to bring the service ERP into our cloud so that those customers who are not yet having a good ERP functionality for the service business in the future, they can select that functionality from our cloud. And this part of the whole offering is more or less underneath of the theme automation and control. How do we extend the existing business processes from the backend systems down to the machines? Then the other side of the picture is under the theme information and analytics. And there we have composed together our analytics and data services. Olli will deep dive into that one, into the component level, what does that mean. And we have social and mobile networks, as said earlier, everything what we do need to be in mobile interfaces and available wherever you are, whenever you want. This was what we set up. Then we started to go around the markets and we were discussing a lot to the customers and we were wondering why they don't buy it. And it took for a while for us to understand that this type of platform is difficult to buy because still we are here talking with the IT terms. And we were meeting the CXO level decision makers in the organization and our language was not matching at all. When we were hitting our head to the rocks for a while, we decided to go into the next level. And then we selected a couple of industries. Sorry about the small font, but the idea of the slide is more important than the content in this moment. We decided to go into this level that we actually defined 10 different use cases, what we believe that will help these customers to transform their businesses into something else in the future. And this type of approach helped us to have the right level of dialogue with the big enterprises. However, we faced the problem with the small and medium-sized companies because they have streamlined their organization, and they are so lean that they do not have a business development personnel or such. And they were even asking more ready-made solutions for the business pains. And for that purpose, we went even further, and we implemented a product called Tieto Real-Time Factory, which is then a dedicated turnkey solution for the companies who are running the manufacturing or make operations still here in Nordics. Who are these customers typically? I think the typical role model of these customers are small and, let's say, at least medium size, tier one or tier two suppliers for the big machinery companies. The business environment for them is difficult because the big giants like, for example, Atlas Copco or Sandvik or you name it, they do have such a huge negotiation power that they are pressing the prices down and they are demanding a huge delivery promises from these small ones. And we did some of the research because of our ERP history with some of our customers, and we came to the conclusion that actually the machine, the fleet what they are running in the factories, that is very, very low level utilized. It might be that the actual utilization ratio for the machines is somewhere about 25-30%. And we composed together this type of statement for the production managers or the chief executive officers in the manufacturing companies. Imagine a situation that your business can get 30% higher productivity. What kind of flexibility it will provide in your operations in the future? How competitive you feel that you can be if you are gaining this one? And then we explained for them that whatever is our machinery fleet in the factory at the moment, we are providing a technology agnostic software layer on top of that. And we are utilizing everything what you have already invested in and just implementing an IoT platform to be as a thin layer on your existing machinery. We are bringing you higher availability, first time right agility, better quality, and less incidents in the operations. And now, the risky part of the presentation, the demo. So this is how the Tieto Real-Time Factory looks like. Let's see if we have to refresh the page. I do have slides for this, just in order to secure. Okay, now it's working. And this is actually taken from a real customer project. A three-dimensional model from the factory shop floor. And now we have integrated different machines. They can be ABB machines, they can be Siemens machines, they can whatever the customer is already having. We are measuring here from the machines what is the current availability of the machine, and customer can define what are the tolerances they are following. The red means that we are under the utilization targets what they have set. Yellow means that we are somewhat in the targets, and green means that we are above the targets. Gray means that there is no electricity in the machines at the moment. Then you can as well see that there is a green dot moving around the hall. And that is now our first pilot, actually, with the first customer, where we have implemented indoor navigation system. And we are now following where are the employees. And that was, by the way, a little bit labor union negotiations behind that. But how that was sold, and actually it was honest, to the labor union, we are following the workers because there is a lot of forklifts and cranes moving around the factory. And we are trying to investigate that if there is, for example, risky corners over there, so that we can change a bit the factory layout and reduce the number of incidents which are happening. The second thing what they would like to know, because there is actually two factories on the same area, and there is some component warehouses in the other factory, and the workers need to twist between the factories, and they would like to understand if the component, the warehouse, need to be reorganized somehow. We are as well tagging some of the material containers and those forklifts and cranes with these high-density indoor navigation tags. So this view demonstrates how we are able to integrate with our IoT platform into the devices provided by third party, like this indoor navigation system, how we are able to integrate to the factory automation system, to the machines what are already existing. And then when I switch to this view and open one of the machines, we have as well integrated into the ERP, and we are getting the work orders from there. How does this change then the operations in the factory? At the moment, without our real-time factory concept, when the operator of the machine is coming to the factory in the morning, he goes to the second floor office, prints the work orders what he needs to complete during today, goes back to the shop floor and do what he is meant to do, and then in the afternoon he goes back to the office and report manually everything to the ERP system. From factory perspective, that means that during the day, during that 8-hour shift, everything what he is doing is invisible. The materials are not updated to the saldos, and the progress of the work is not known. Now we change the system so that there is iPad, or whatever, Microsoft tablet actually, in each and every machine. And we are sending the same information what used to be in the work order papers to the tablet, and there is a standard workflow or the aimed workflow what this worker needs to be do. And we are continuously measuring from the machine itself that what is the current progress ratio with that work order. And the next step what we are now thinking about, that if, for example, Atlas Copco or Sandvik is the customer of this company, we can actually report or visualize this information directly to the extranet portal so that this big client of us can see in the real time how we are proceeding with the most critical components of them. And that will at least benefit this small company in the competitive position to the other similar machinery companies. Then we have as well here a fault reporting view. And the idea here is that because of the availability of the machines is low, we have discussed with these customers that what are the typical root causes. And they don't know. And hence, we have now integrated these machines so that they are populating alarms. Whenever a sensor or the machine inside, there is a lot of sensors inside the machine, when some of those is violating, like it happened now, violating a business rule, which is configurable, then we will get an alert. And now the machine operator can immediately select if the alert is critical, if it's something which can be ignored because of faulty sensor, for example, for a while, and then he can directly send this message to the maintenance company. Meaning that we are actually reducing a lot the recovery time, what it takes to recover when an unwanted incident happens. And based on this, our assumption is that during the first 6 months, we can increase the availability of the critical machines by 10 to 15% already. And when we are then combining the analytics into these data values what we are getting from the machines, we are able to do the second 15% in the longer term. And that is how we believe that we can come back to 30% profitability or productivity increase in these factories. Now I will hand over to Olli and we will move to the left side of the picture, to the information and analytics.
Okay, thanks. So this is a bit a separate talk, well not a separate talk, but as Joni said, the left side of the dynamic platform that we're discussing. So if you have any question related to the real-time factory at this moment, perhaps it is good to address them right now. That was unbelievably clear. Oh, you had one, yeah. Real-time factory. This is something that, yes, I mean, I can perhaps start answering and then Joni can continue from there. So now the topic that I'm going to discuss is now the analytics part of the our kind of product portfolio. And the idea there is that now we have quite modular design in all of these platforms that we have. And for instance, for the real-time factory that we just discussed here, it is possible to combine that with the analytics platform that we have that will now kind of take the data from the real-time factory, process that data, and then we can have a little bit like enhanced information drawn out of the data that can be now fed back to the real-time factory.
And in order to go further with that answer, the real-time factory version 1 is now up and running, and we decided to start with the connectivity platform. Now the next phase will be enhanced version, and there will be one module, which is analytical module, and we are aiming to have a certain ready-made, let's say, reporting and analytics reports. Like, for example, maintenance organization or industrial services providers, we have a standard set of reports which are then coming along the product. And then on the other hand, for the ones who are producing the goods, we have a plan to have the most critical information available in the standard reporting format. One concrete example of what we are working now is a company who are having a lot of saws. And this saw blade is, after a certain hours, going out of calibration. And when that happens, the product quality is poor, and you cannot observe the poor quality with eye. So most likely you will send a lot of components to the end customer, and after the while, end customer is angry, first of all, and he sends the products back to your organization, and you have to scrap and deliver new ones. And now the idea is that we start to measure the calibration of the blade, and then we are doing the predictive analytics that how often the blade needs to be recalibrated, when it needs to be sharpened, and that type of stuff.
All right. So when we started building up the analytics solutions or the platform, the services for this our dynamic platform, we kind of started looking at what kind of analytic solutions do we have? For instance, or what do we are speaking of at the moment in the markets and so on? And if you think about, for instance, the topic in this tech days, a lot of people have been talking about big data. Big data is usually kind of synonym for analytics, although it means that now you have to have certain type of analytical tools in order to run that. And it, of course, is being sold with an idea that now you will get a much more information out of the data that you have already. But if you think about the whole picture where you kind of have the data and what you get out of that and so on, I think that there's like a couple of drivers or kind of primary drivers that now has been taking our work, for instance, forward. The first of all is that now the technologies that we provide and the analytics themselves, they're only, as Joni said, enablers in order to fulfill the business opportunities and the business visions that we have. So first of all, I mean, always comes the business side that we have. And the second of all, we have to find the proper technology in order to fulfill that business idea. And it means sometimes we have to use the big data platforms, but most of the time, at least in the beginning, I would say that now we don't actually need that. We just need to have something that has exactly the same capabilities, algorithm-wise, analytical-wise, in order to withdraw that information, that knowledge out of the data and fulfill that business idea that we had in the beginning. And then, of course, the third one is that wherever we run the analytics on, we only know as much as how much data do we have. So for instance, if we only withdraw the data from machines, say that we have one sensor that measures the vibration of a drill. We only know the vibration of the drill, and if we don't combine that to any other source of information or source of data, the insight that we get from that data set, it is very limited. So we have to have all of that. We have to have the good business idea. We have to know the business principle, the business problem that we have to solve. We have to have the proper analytical tools in order to solve that. And of course, we have to have enough data in order to do that. Usually when we talk about, as in Joni's, this is basically the same picture as Joni showed from the dynamic platform that we have, but a little bit drawn in a different way, because I like to emphasize something differently here. If you think about all the other solutions that we like to, these business problems that we like to solve, they come from different verticals. So we might have something in manufacturing side, telecom side might have some other solutions that we have to find for them. But all these solutions, they basically have pretty much three kind of common nominators in them. So we have to have some infrastructure there on base what we need to kind of base that on. Then we have to have the connectivity, as Joni said. We need to get the data into a certain place so we can access that data with our analytics platform in order to produce the information for the solutions that we need to be successful then and fulfill the other business problems, solve them. Now, I would argue that now about 70 to 80% of the solutions is fulfilled by these three components that we have in the basics. So if we would have, and if we have them ready, we reduce the time to market considerably. And so the remaining 20 to 30% that we have left, it is now then the industry vertical specific, company specific, or even the business problem specific things that we have to develop on top of that. But now, if we have, as we do in Tieto, have most of the other solution ready, we can move a lot faster forward and start dealing with the real problems without kind of spending too much time on this kind of background issues that should be solved and should be already existing in order to be able to do these efficiently, these solutions. Our analytics kind of services and solutions that we have in Tieto, we are basically we can divide them quite easily into two subcategories. So we have the technology side, where we have now sought and looked into all the technologies that we have available at the moment in the market. And if you have looked, I mean, there's plenty of them available there. So we have chosen the best parts of them and put them into our toolbox, which is now basically the platform on top of which we will be using and doing all the analysis work. And the other side that we have is, of course, the data scientists, especially the small and medium-sized organizations. You usually lack all the other competencies that you need in order to run these tools or kind of be able to do the statistical analysis, for instance, to break that when the part of the machine is going to break down. And now, in order to find that kind of a people for these projects that you might have, it might turn out to be quite impossible, or I mean, you might make even wrong decisions about whom to hire and so on. So from Tieto, we bring the whole solution. So we have the platform, the technology, and then we have the data scientist services, the people who, while understanding your business problem, they will then help you because they know how to use the tools and then the mathematics, the algorithms, in order to redraw the knowledge that you need in order to solve your business problem. So let's first look into the analytics toolbox that we have. As I said, we have looked through the tremendous amount of solutions that we have there available. And we have now chosen, in our expert opinion, the best possible kind of tools in order to bring together. I always like to think about the analytics and then the analytics map in a way that you have a kind of this patch blanket. You have different sections in the blanket, and I think that it means, I mean, if you think about having a big data analytics platform, and you would use that same platform to solve all the analytics solutions or problems that you would have in your organization. It is the same thing as you would be using a sledgehammer to put a nail into the coffin, for instance. I mean, you have to have proper tools in order to solve proper issues. I mean, most of the business cases, they might become unsuccessful because you have too expensive tools or wrong tools in order to do the right, the correct stuff with those tools. So what we have done is that we have brought, in our mind, the best available tools into one set, and then having the data in our analytics platform, we can combine now the proper analytical tools depending on the use case we might like to use them. So for instance, here's the kind of bigger picture of the our platform. So we have all the sensors, databases, gateways and so on who push the data into our analytics platform. Yeah, because of the modular structure that we wanted to create for the platform, we have made it extremely simple to be integrated into this platform. So basically we do have two interfaces for the platform. We have the input interface, where now the data is being pushed into the analytics platform. Then we have the second interface on the other side, where we can now withdraw the data after we have processed that through and getting the much more information out of that. So in a way, it's pretty simple. You just have to push the data in, and then you have an REST API where you can withdraw the data with much more information in it. We get the data in, it is being stored there, we have the data in the platform, and then depending on the use case, we might use a little bit lighter analytical engines in order to process the data, or then if big data capabilities are needed, or even real-time calculations, we can then use a bit more heavier calculations in order to run that. But now, of course, I mean, if you think about that, these are now the tools and the hardware, well, the software solutions that we use, giving us the capabilities to that. And then, for instance, using R, we can get the statistical analysis done and get the information out of the data that you have, and then get the get that out from the other side. As I said in the beginning, a lot of people are talking about big data at the moment. And there's no, I mean, that's correct. I mean, the amount of information that we get all the time, it's huge also already, but it's going to get a lot larger as well. But now when you start with something, I would say that, I mean, I would argue that most of the cases that we have at the moment where we talk about big data, we don't actually need big data probabilities yet. But we would have to start from somewhere, of course, and we need to be able to scale to big data. That's not a problem. But now most of the cases, for instance, with the real-time factory and so, we have noticed that this solution here can already handle most of the stuff. What it does is that now we can already get this readily made automated reports out of that. We can have a dashboards done with the whole the analytical engine here, and then we can of course run a more sophisticated analytics on top of it. Now, of course, when the amount of data that we have increases, so that now we would need to have a parallel processing capabilities into that. It is quite easy then, if you looked at the previous picture, to attach another analytics component into the same data sets, and then we can easily scale into the big data side using the same functions with R and so, in order to have the same analytics down in there. But now we just have that in parallel process side, so we'll reduce the time that when we get the solutions out of that whole thing. And well, the basic functionalities that we have in the platform, if you like, we have the opportunity to use that as a data storage. We can provide data to the different organizations through the same platform. So for instance, if you would be a machine manufacturer and you gather some data out of the machines, you can sell that data through the platform, giving a proper key for the customer. You can sell that data, for instance, to the maintenance company, saying that now this is the data that you need to be using. And if you like to kind of make your processes better, your services better, you can use that data and calculate that what you should be doing. What we have is that we have visualizations ready, we have automated reports there, and then of course if we don't want to use the already existing reporting tools or then the graphical user interface that we have, we can of course use the REST API that we have in order to create new ones, similar dashboards that for instance Joni showed in the real-time factory side. And then of course the analytics side. So reporting, it is getting kind of the numbers and then of course producing those figures out of those numbers and giving visualizations. But if we like to then get a bit more insight into the solutions or insight about the problems, for instance, having these predictive maintenance use cases done, then of course we can use the statistical analysis and calculate that when, for instance, the drill is going to break and so on. So this is like a view of the engine that we have at the moment. This is now perhaps the lighter, not parallel processing interface that we have. What we have gathered here, just an example case, we have in northern Finland there's this city called Uleåborg, and we have measured now the traffic over one bridge. And we have taken now from those measurements, we measured the car height, the speed of the cars, distance between the cars, amount of snow on the road, and so on, different variables. And now what we have now shown is that one data set that we have taken in, which is now the car speed, and we have just simply calculated that now what would be the portion of overspeeding cars based on that data set. And this is kind of example that this is whenever we make a scheduled upload of the data, these reports are now generated automatically within the graphical user interface that we have in the engine. And then the other use case that we have used that for is that now we have gathered a lot of data from the computers that now Tieto leases out, and then we have, for instance, the hardware category models, operating systems, and so on, and we have used that information in order to calculate this health index for the computer assets that the companies have. And now based on that health index, we can now determine that at what point you should change, for instance, the hardware in certain computers, should you increase the memory in some of the computers, or what you should do. And now this is basically an example about how we run the analytics on top of the Louhin. So it is basically drag and drop kind of a graphical user interface for the analytics, and if you need some specific functions, you can just kind of run your own scripts within these nodes in this analytical platform. We can provide the platform where all the analytics have been done, and then and in addition to that, of course, we need to have the competencies and capabilities how to do that. We have got to figure out that there, we'll see that there's two main questions that now the customers usually ask. First of them is then how do we get started? How do we get involved with that? We know that we need to get into the digitalization. We need to run analytics on the data that we have, but how can we do that? So with this Tieto fast track to analytics, what we do is that we evaluate together with the customer the business cases that the customer have, and then evaluate all the data sets that the customer have already in store. And then we see that what kind of a solutions we should do. How can we integrate those data sets into the analytics platform in order to fulfill those business cases that the customer have? And then based on the evaluations and the studies that we have, we come up with the list of recommended items that the customer should do, and then we start fulfilling those, reaching the set of goals that we have set in that case. So this is basically how to get started, kind of come up with the plan about how to get involved with the analytics. The second thing that the customer usually asks is that, okay, so how do we produce the services? How can we start building on top of the analytics platform, the service that we need to do? These industry-specific verticals. And that is now the proof of concept thing that we have. So basically, the proof of concept, when we do this agile service development, proof of concept is just one sprint of this agile service development. So it starts with innovation phase, where we basically go through again the business ideas that the customer have, and then the customer has the business owner there who knows the business best. And we bring now the technical people who know how to use the platforms and the tools in order to get that information to the customer so they can solve their problem. So in the innovation phase, we go through the business ideas and see what kind of how can we solve them. And we put all that information into the innovation backlog. And then in the data validation phase, we see that now what are the data sets that we need? Do we have all that available? How do we integrate that into the platform, and how do we get that data to our disposal? And then data discovery phase, we run through that data. We kind of find the insights that we need to find to get the information and knowledge out of the data that we need to solve that business problem. And then in the prototyping phase, we implement. We kind of visualize the data in the best possible way to fulfill that business problem that the customer has. And as I said, that is like a one sprint in the agile service development that we have. And then when we get into this kind of continuous service development, what it means is that now we will then follow the same path as we did there. Of course, a bit accelerated because now some sets of the work have already been done earlier, but now the same idea is there behind. We have the business owner from the customer side, and we have ourselves, our consultants, data scientists, who now run through the cycle, looking at the innovation backlog that we have, taking the next items to the sprint, start validating the data that we have, data discovery, prototyping, and over again. So basically the minimum set of work orders that we sell is one sprint, because that will result as a one service on top of the analytics platform. And that is, of course, I mean, we wish that now we could do that on top of the analytics toolbox that we have. But now, of course, if other tools are needed or wanted, that is not a problem. But we can of course, have the same agile service development done on any other platform as well. This is perhaps, well, just to show that now what we are able to do, perhaps answers a bit the question that you had before about the how can we bring more knowledge out of the information or the data that we have. So this is one of the example cases that we have used the analytics platform on. So Tietovital, as I showed you earlier, this capture or a print screen from the situation, we cannot take the information out of the computers. We calculate the health indexes for the computers based on the disk usage, CPU, memory status, connectivity, boot time, and energy consumption, and kind of bring to the customer the kind of one picture of the computer assets that they have. What should they do about that, and what is happening with their assets? So we everything is now brought into the analytics platform, and then we run the algorithms and then the analysis on top of it. And then we use the REST API that we have in order to get the data out of the analytics platform into this dashboard that we have created for this particular solution. So for instance here, you can the customer can see the average boot times calculated from all of the computers. Overall device health status, which means that now here we have already brought much more information out of the data that we have. Average device health status in a timely manner, locations, user feedbacks, and so on. And now, of course, the good thing about this is that now when we talk about this agile service development, so basically all of these widgets that we have on the dashboard, these, all of them, they kind of represent another report that we can generate there. And another algorithm behind the report that now generates much more information knowledge out of it. So once starting from something, we can all the time bring much more sophisticated analysis into the game and show customer much more information about their own computer assets that they would need to have. So with that, we have about 5 minutes for questions. And then we're almost in time. Exhaustive presentation, I see.
if you don't have any questions, okay, I can promise that we will leave you to be the first ones in the coffee queue, but still a couple of examples from the industries, what we've been doing recently. One example is that we are measuring, for example, cargo containers in the overhaul shipping from Europe to US. And the idea is that when we are getting the metrics from the big container ship, how many piles of the containers they have loaded into the ship, and what are the forces when the ship is sailing, we are able to optimize the load on top of the ship, that now if they are loading today eight containers into the pile, when we know a little bit more about the forces, perhaps next year we are able to load 10 containers instead of eight. And in the shipping industry, this is important, because the weight of the ship is always the same. Because if they cannot load the containers, then they are taking the ballast water, meaning that the energy consumption is the same. So if we are able to take more containers, we can reduce the amount of the ballast water. So we can actually bring immediately the revenue to the bottom line. Mm.
And then in shipping industry, especially in these large container ships, I think that the 80% of the expenses are fuel expenses. So if you take that even further, and are able to load the ship in a smart way, knowing about the what are the weather conditions and the next leg and so on, just saving 2%, for instance, on the fuel expenses, that is already in absolute money, that is a huge amount of money that the shipping, like the operator, saves on fuel costs. So the opportunities are quite limitless there.
And the other example, we had a lot of welding machines in the picture, And in this example, the company is doing quite a critical weldings for the end customer. And there is always a debate if something goes wrong in the end product. Was that because of the assembly of the end product, or was that because of the bad welding in the subcontractor side? And now we are taking actually the welding values from the welding machine and combining that information to the indoor navigation, meaning that we know that who is the person who has been on the welding machine when a certain component has been welded, because we can then grant that this person has had the right welding certificates for this product, and that that is at least what they have agreed on. At the moment, the company, the subcontractor company, does not have the capability to link the certificates to the end product. And perhaps one other example, which is bringing a little bit of the video streaming into the picture. We are now piloting a pulp mill in the northern part of Finland. And the pulp process is there is a lot of leakages. It is not a clean process, and the pulp process is quite a hot. It's not a comfortable place for the human being to be there continuously and follow up if something is leaking or not. And there we are now implementing a high-speed video cameras, which is then learning incrementally if there is leakages on the pulp process. And hopefully we are then able to improve later on that what are the root causes for the leakages. But that is the first example where we are utilizing the video camera controlling. Any other
cases? I was just wondering that now we do have actually one video camera case in our headquarters offices as well. But it was more of a kind of demonstration purposes where we followed the people flow within the building. So we can already all the time know that now how many people are in which kind of facilities. So for instance, in a case of emergency, we know that now how many people are trapped in which parts of the building. If we find that now not all of the people have come out, for instance, in the case of fire emergencies. So we have that kind of office room functionalities as well based on the videos.
So some examples of the cases, and let's say perhaps the cases are proven that things are happening. They are not just a slideware, but the real platforms which are ready to use.
Exactly. Yeah. So thank you for your interest. I hope you found something good out of this.
Thank you.
Thanks.